Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good. Keep it up.
Our next paper is by the co-chair of the session, Bill Ambrose, Distribution and Chronostratigraphy of Asymmetric Secondary Craters Associated with Lunar Basins. Bill?
Thanks, Jack. Some of this work may touch upon or have application to the work that Herb Fry has been doing on recognizing additional basins. Many of them, admittedly, are probably pre-Nectarian in age, but what's going to come out of this work, I think, may actually tie into that, because what I'm interested in this presentation is not looking at the basins themselves, but some of their ejecta products. And some of them, not necessarily the typical type of secondary crater that might have resulted, but a certain type of animal, which I call an asymmetric secondary crater, which might have been the result of a low-angle impact. And so I'll be focusing on those, and I'll show you some examples of mostly nectarian basins, but we'll also think about some pre-nectarian basins as well. So what I'll be covering is very briefly the main sequence of craters and how these asymmetric secondaries are different from those, looking at processes, ejecta, and types. Looking at basin ejecta features, they come in different types and varieties, not just secondary craters, but scours and crater chains. These are not to be confused with a type of crater chains that might have been, like Catena Davy, for example, that might have been the result of a disrupted cometary impact, which is a bit controversial but also quite possible. So we have to be very careful in what we're calling crater chains that are related to basin scale impacts. And then I'll cover the recognition criteria for what I call asymmetric secondaries, and there's a variety of criteria. I will look at the outline, the depth, the rim, degradation, and the position relative to the genetically associated impact basin. We'll look at a few basin examples. We'll start off with a test basin, Orientale. The reason we're going to look at that is because it's a very young basin relatively, and so all of these features should be very fresh, very well preserved. Then we'll look at the older basins, Humorum, Korolev on the backside, Crisium, and Nectaris. And then a brief discussion on the significance of all this and what the limitations are in the process. So first, the lunar crater main sequence. This is a work that's been well established by the several workers in times past, Shoemaker, Wilhelms, and a variety of others. Essentially, there is a relationship of crater morphology with increasing diameter, so that, for example, I'm going to blind myself here. Got myself. How about that? Okay, simple craters are sort of like a cookie cutter shape. They're all bowl shaped, very simple. Typical diameter here in kilometers is 10. Small complex, 25 is a typical diameter. Large complex, we begin to see terraces and collapse features, which are post-impact related. And then these grade into small basins, Schrodinger, for example, with these incipient little inner rings. And then the very large basins, Orientale, with the so-called multi-ring basins. The type of craters that I'm concerned with, these asymmetric secondaries, are typically in this range in diameter right here, about 25 kilometers across, but they vary tremendously in their morphology from these small complex craters. And this is what I'm talking about. When a impacting body has hit the moon surface, or indeed any planetary surface, you typically get a lot of secondaries that come out at a variety of angles. 45 degrees is a typical angle. But in the population of secondaries, one might expect some low-angle impactors. And this is a couple here which I think may fit the case. You can see the experimental low-angle impact craters have been generated by the work of Donald Galt, and was published in Galt and Wedekind in 1978. When we're talking about low-angle, I mean really low-angle, you have to get down to 5 or 10 degrees to really produce these asymmetric craters. In other words, you can have an impactor coming in at, say, a shallow angle of 20 degrees and still produce a roughly circular crater. So these really have to be low angle. Alphonsus B is an example here, and you can see it's a teardrop shaped. It has a narrow sort of beak to it. Abel Theta D as well is very similar to Alphonsus B. Both of these are in the Southern Highlands, and they are west and southwest respectively of the Nectaris Basin. I also mentioned scours and, of course, the classical imbrium structure, which was actually first published by G.K. Gilbert in 1893, and that's associated with the Imbrium Basin. Here we have this colorful painting from a 1969 issue of the National Geographic. And then you can see that superimposed, this little window here is from the Central Highlands, and it would fall just off of these paintings right down here. But the Imbrium sculpture has resulted from scouring and low-angle ejecta, which just ran across these older Nectarian and pre-Nectarian craters, and these yellow areas arrows highlight those. Then the secondaries that I'm really interested in, I think these are good candidates, and this would be, you've seen this before, this is Alphonsus B. This is from Marty Clark, who published a article in the Lunar Observer in 2006. Teardrop-shaped, very relatively shallow floor, but you can see asymmetric in the terms of the two axes that form the diameter of the crater. The long axis is 25 kilometers, the short axis is 18 kilometers. This long axis, the western end of the crater, is pointing away from the inferred source of this secondary, if indeed it is a secondary, and it overlaps the eastern wall of Alphonsus. If we look at a top-down view, this is data that was published by Paul Spoutis in 2005. We are now looking right straight down on the Nectaris Basin. These are inferred rings associated with the Nectaris Basin. This asterisk is the position of Alphonsus B. Abel Theta D is another one of these. We saw that a couple of slides ago. Its position is there. There's the famous Valles Reti here on the southeastern margin of the Nectaris Basin, which is essentially a series of overlapping asymmetric craters, but collectively a gigantic scour feature, which is pointing back towards the central part of Nectaris Basin. And there are other ones as well. Nicolai Z is another one. We'll see that later on. And then I'll show you a map of all of the ones that I believe exist along the rim of the Nectaris Basin as we sum up. In terms of other types of morphogenic features that are important to look out for in identifying these craters, we also want to look at the depth. I believe that these are very shallow craters. Nicolai Z is only 1 kilometer deep, but we don't want to confuse these with other craters that are shallow, such as Lassell, which I infer to be lava flooded. This is in Mare Nubium. Yes, this is asymmetric. It's shallow, but I think it's shallow because it's suffered basically from lava intrusion. And there's the position of Nicolai Z. The crater rim is also important. Other craters of similar sizes are asymmetric, but I think that asymmetry is due to post-impact slumping. Here's an example of Treisnecker, which is south of the Hyginus Rille, and you can see that, yes, it is asymmetric, but it's asymmetric because of post-impact slumping. This is a small, complex crater, whereas this is not quite so clear as a post-impact slump. We don't get these lobate scarps that are associated with Treisnecker. Crater degradation is important because if these are associated with old impact basins such as Nectaris, then they should have a similar level of degradation such as the Nectaris Basin itself. And so we want to differentiate these from, say, example, Copernican age craters, which are asymmetric and may which have resulted from a low angle impact, such as Proclus, which is just west of Mare Crisium. Okay, let's look at examples now. I have some, we'll be showing a series of LIDAR maps from the USGS, a map of planet database. These will all be top-down views, and the blue is the topographically low center of the Orientale Basin, and the reds are the topographically high rim areas. And if we look at the distribution of the basin rings, these are in purple. And then superimposed on those are what I believe are the asymmetric, just the asymmetric secondary craters from these criteria that I just went through. And then a series of scours, crater chains, and valleys. Some of these valleys are observable with a backyard telescope. Valles Ingarami here, for example, which is near the crater Ingarami. And this is a very conservative interpretation. We saw from the previous studies, the presentations from Scott and Noah, that these ejecta features, the secondaries and the scours, are even more widely distributed and cover the South Pole Aitken Basin. Looking at the Humeran Basin, now we're dealing with a Nectarian Age basin. So now it becomes a little bit more difficult to infer these secondary craters and scours. Here are the basin rings that can be inferred from the topographic data. And here are, using again the criteria that I reviewed, the asymmetric secondaries. And there are very few of them. And one of these is Zupis D, and the other is Cavendish E. Cavendish E is probably debatable, even though it has the necessary morphogenic features to be an asymmetric secondary in its interpretation. It's a very bright or young crater, and it actually may be just a slumped primary crater like Treisnecker. The Korolev Basin, we've seen the backside of the moon in some of the previous presentations. Here's the Korolev Basin right here. Here are some of the inferred basin rings, probably another one running right through there. And then a whole host of secondary craters. Again, these are asymmetric. And then the scours, the crater chains, and the valleys. And interestingly enough, the distribution of these, there's a lot on the northern rim and a lot on the southern rim. There may have been some here, but I think these may have been destroyed by or altered by ejecta from nearby younger basins. So what is the significance of all of this, and what are the limitations? Well, I think these are relative age indicators. If these can be confidently mapped and shown to exist, then just by simple laws of superposition, we have features for which we can do relative age dating. However, there are some limitations, and I think the limited preservation of pre-Nectarian secondaries does make it very difficult to use this for the old basins. For example, the Freundlich-Sharonov, which I have not mapped secondary craters, I would infer a lot that could be recognizable here, but some of these older degraded basins, which are inferred from the work by Herbert Fry, these actually may have existed but have probably been degraded so much that they're very difficult to recognize. And here's an example of Nicolai Z, which would be Nectarian, if it indeed it is a secondary from Nectaris. Beyond that, you can see you degrade this even more. Its asymmetry would then be somewhat debatable. Also, there might be possible indications of the basin impact asymmetry itself, just simply by the distribution of these asymmetric secondaries. Let's look, for example, first, we'll look at Alphonsus and Alphonsus B, and then we'll move on to what I think is a good example of asymmetric distribution of the asymmetric craters. But I mentioned the use of these asymmetric secondaries as relative age dating objects. Here's a geologic map from Howard and Masursky back in 1968. We're going to focus in on Alphonsus through here, and here is Alphonsus, which is overlapped by Alphonsus B. There is the asymmetric outline. So Alphonsus, which was interpreted as Nectarian in age from Wilhelms, if indeed this is a Nectarian age secondary, then there is a bit of inconsistency, so that Alphonsus Actually, Alphonsus would have to be pre-nectarian rather than nectarian if it is overlapped by Alphonsus B. And then we have overlapping that, the scouring from the imbrium impact, so that we have relative age dating based on these overlapping relationships, so that Alphonsus is then, in this scheme, pre-nectarian, Alphonsus B is nectarian, and then which in turn is overlain by scours from the embryon impact event. Okay, then I mentioned the asymmetry of the basins themselves. If you map the distribution of the asymmetric secondary craters and the scours, crater chains, and valleys associated with Crisium, you see that the distribution itself is not uniform. You have a lot of these preserved on the northern rim, the southern rim, but very few, if any, on the eastern and western margins. And that's probably due and consistent with the interpretation that the Crisium Basin itself is the result of a grazing impact. And so what we get is a sort of a butterfly wing type of distribution of ejecta from that. Nectarous Basin, here are all of the secondaries that were mapped in yellow, and then the scours and the crater chains in red. Well, yes, that's an asymmetric distribution, so could Nectarous Basin itself be the result of a low-angle impact? Possibly not, because if you look at the age of the Mare fill units, we see that these lavas here are younger than the lava fill or the associated age of the Nectarous Basin, so that these are probably areas where secondaries were simply obliterated by younger lavas. So in summary, I believe that secondary craters are quite common all over the moon, but the very large ones in particular, we want to look for the asymmetric secondaries. The recognition criteria that we reviewed, shallow depth, teardrop-shaped rims, they point away from the associated basin, high level of degradation, radial distribution from their related impacts. And I've mentioned the significance. These could be used very selectively in small areas due to overlapping relationships as chronostratigraphic indicators, and in some cases, indicators of basin impact asymmetry. Thanks. Well, I think Crisium does have asymmetry. I mean, if you look at it's foreshortened, of course, when you see it from the Earth. But if you look at a rectified view of it, I think the east-west axis, at least the Mare fill part, is longer, or it's greater in width than it is in the north-south dimension. Yeah.
Any other questions, comments? Bill?
Okay.
You want to introduce the next speaker?
And I wonder who